Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
And you are listening to Fiber Talk, that twice-weekly podcast for people who play with needles. That's twice now. Twice in a row I've done that without hesitation, without fumbling or anything. I'm quite proud of myself.
It's because you're not being creative.
Yeah, that's probably it. It's probably also dumb luck, but whatever. Yeah. Our guest this week, Megan Chriswiser. Hi, Megan.
Hi, Gary. Hi, Christine.
Now, hello. Megan is editor of Needlework Retailer Magazine. And just a bit of explanation, you can't go to the store and buy this magazine. It's a business-to-business magazine. There's a whole world of consumer magazines. Then there's a whole another vast world of business-to-business magazines that you have to be involved in the business at some level to get to. Those are the kinds that I edit. And that's what Megan edits. So if you're a store owner, a local needlework store owner or a retailer of some kind, you can qualify and get this magazine. But as a result, Megan is knee deep, neck deep, way over your head in this needlework world. So we thought it would be fun to talk to you. Let's see. I'm going to guess way over your head, like there's more than you could ever cover. Not way over your head in that you're clueless, but more than you could ever cover because there's just so much stuff going on in so many areas.
I learn something new every day. There. Like how to do a podcast. You never know.
Yep. Yeah, this is your first time we use Skype to record. So, yeah, you get to do Skype. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So there we have
it. I'm Skyping today. Maybe my kids will think I'm cool. Who knows?
No.
Maybe not.
They'll just roll their eyes. No, sorry. Not going to happen. No. Be a long time before you're cool. Trust me. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, Needlework Retailer. Only needlework stores can get it or people of that ilk. So how do you end up as editor of a trade magazine for needlework? How does that all... I mean, I know how I ended up as an editor of trade magazines, but how do you get there?
I didn't even know that trade magazines, they weren't even on my radar, but I was going to college at Iowa State, which is here in Ames, and I was taking graphic design classes, and I have a bachelor's degree of fine arts, and I was looking for a job, and so I was looking through the Des Moines Register, which 20 years ago you looked in the newspaper to get a job. And I was trying to see what I needed. And I decided to take an advertising class. And right outside of the journalism college, there was like a job bulletin board. And there was one that said, wanted a magazine editor. Must like, I don't know if it said cross stitch or something caught my eye. But I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. So I gave Beth and Larry a call. They're the owners of Yarn Tree, and they own Needlework Retailer. And that's pretty much how I got the job. I did call my mom the night before my interview. And I said, okay, I've got this interview. I was really nervous. And I said, tell me exactly what is the difference between needlepoint and cross stitch. And we went over it. And so she helped prep me. So
interview
thanks,
prep
mom.
By mom.
Thanks for helping me get the job. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mom help.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually, you know, you wouldn't think that, you know, parents would help, but she did.
Yeah. Well, that, I'm sure it made her feel good. Yep. I'm helping my daughter out. I helped her get a job. Yep. And all her friends, you know that, you know how that story changed once she got the job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I totally got the job for her, yes.
Yep.
I'm sure. I taught her how to needlepoint and how to cross-stitch. And but Beth did ask me at my interview, do you cross-stitch? And so I've heard her over the years ask, you know, everyone when you come in to interview, you know, do you cross-stitch? So it's kind of fun, but kind of a different job that you wouldn't think. Yep. It's a... you know, something that you need to know to have this type of job is kind of fun.
Yeah, it's not everybody can say that. Yeah. Yeah. Now, it's interesting that how that happens, because that's how I got into the magazine world. Was I was teaching high school science, or middle, actually at that time, middle school science. And I could, it was just one of those, wait a minute, I love teaching, but if I want to make any serious money, I'm going to have to get into the business world. And then then I got an editor job where you never make serious money, so much for that plan. But you know, give me credit for trying.
Because publishing is a cash cow.
Yeah, right. but it was the same kind of thing. I'm just looking in the newspaper, and for me it was Chemical Processing Magazine. And you had to, they were looking for an assistant editor, which is bottom rung in the editor world, and needed a science background of some kind. So I just took a flyer. I had no idea what this magazine world was like, this trade magazine world. And lo and behold, I got the job and was knee deep in chemical processing manufacturing before I knew it. So yeah, it's a different world. Most people never see the trade magazine world.
Well, growing up in Iowa, I feel like that could have been me. I mean, I could have gone into Farm Engineering Magazine or, yes, you know, something. So I'm glad that I stumbled upon that ad because it's been really a fun job.
Yeah. Plows and Disc Monthly.
I know.
Well, and, just my fallback. You know, so from the other side, so I work in manufacturing. So I am I'm the target audience of these magazines. So we actually do read them. They are very useful to us. So
thank factory, God for that. You know,
efficiencies. No, it's true. So I get several of these things, and they have, you know, delightful, you know, really interesting titles like Quality Magazine, you know, which is not about the quality of the magazine at all. But yeah,
wait, type thing. Wait, time out. You read Quality Magazine?
Yes.
I was editor of that for like 8 years. Holy
Doesn't
smokes.
Everybody read Quality Magazine?
I thought they did.
Yeah.
Well, no, there we go. Huh. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was before your time, but I was editor. Yeah.
Read it. Well, no, and these things are useful to us because it's good to know sort of what's going on in your industry, but also it's a great way to find suppliers of information. And the same thing with the needlework, right? For the retailers. How do you find new designers, new product, new everything, you know, it's a way for those advertisers to reach their audience, right? So it's a really good communications tool.
So Megan, you're a one man band, right? One woman band. I mean, you do the layouts, graphic design, all the editing, the whole shot.
If somebody messes up, it's my fault. So there's no one else to blame. So, but when I was hired by Beth and Larry Johnson at Yarntree, they needed somebody to help on the magazine. They'd kind of retired from doing the shows, like the trade shows, and taking the magazine and stuff, and they couldn't do it and run their business for Yarntree.com. So that's why they hired me. And so I do, the magazine comes out 6 times a year. So every 2 months we flip. So like right now I'm working on the May, June. And so I'm calling advertisers and talking with people and booking ads. And then next week, you know, we'll be doing like placing the ads in the magazine in Adobe InDesign and sending proofs. And then a couple weeks we'll be working with the printer and, you know, mailing lists. And my very favorite, which I'm being sarcastic, is working on the mailing list with the post office for 2 straight days because we have a change service request on the magazine. But it is easier now with Google, so we can look people up to see if they're a store and the location that they're in. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I can't even imagine doing that. We have people that handle that for us, an outside vendor that handles that. I can't even imagine doing that. Yuck.
But there is lots of fun things about my job. I shouldn't talk about the old bad things, but like the fun things are, okay, so like every day when I get to the office and I get my coffee, I'll open up my email, and my email is filled with all this beautiful needlework. So I get an ooh and ah over it. So I always tell everybody my job's kind of like Christmas.
Yeah.
You can even imagine, and I get to see everything before any of the public gets to see it. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah, see, I get to see pumps and ceilings and floors and that kind of stuff. I'd rather get needlework stuff. That'd be more fun, yeah.
I see all the, you know, stuff, and they're like, don't show anyone. And I like to tease some of my advertisers. I'm like, okay, I'm off to the message boards to make some friends. See you later. Top secret pictures that they don't want out until a certain date or something.
Right. And now this magazine is primarily products, right? Only one I have is the Nashville Market one, and that's all products because it's really your pre-show issue or your show issue. Do you also do features? How does that play in?
We don't do a lot of designer features. We do mostly new products since this magazine is sent out to store owners so they can see the products. We like to show them what they will be getting in their hands when they order. So we'll show like a lot of like the chart fronts or like painted canvases. And then we also have like our trade show list or business articles.
Okay.
But probably 75% of the magazine is new products.
And that's you taking in a press release and a photo or some write-up and editing it to make it make sense in English. Yes.
Yes. Yes. For example, for someone that hasn't seen the magazine, it kind of looks like a catalog that you would order from, except for store owners would look at it and they'll be ordering multiples. Like they would be ordering, if it's needles or something, they'd be ordering boxes for their store. Or if it's a chart, they'd be ordering dozens.
Yeah, this is a magazine where a hobbyist who's a hoarder would just go nuts.
Yeah. And then save the magazine.
Right.
The stores definitely use it as a resource. So they'll save them. And, you know, they might not need a Santa with a blue sleigh right now. But if someone comes into their store and asks for it, they'll know they saw it and they'll go back and look it up for them.
And then help me understand, Yarn Tree is the parent company. And then what is the function of Yarn Tree?
So Yarn Tree is a counted cross-stitch distributor. And the name Yarn Tree comes from a retail store that Beth and Larry originally bought. And they used to sell yarn. And then when cross-stitching became popular in the 80s, they switched over and started selling more cross-stitch. And then they were looking for products. And they had like little jar puff-ups and other products that they had ended up taking to the Charlotte market. And then they slowly decided, I'm not sure, you should interview them, but they slowly started to go wholesale. And then they went full wholesale and they just kept the name Yarn Tree. But they are the publishers and the owners of Needlework Retailer magazine.
Okay. And so your office is in the warehouse with all the goodies?
So I have an office and like a corner office.
I want to come visit you.
Lots of people want to come visit us, but we don't have a showroom or anything. It's just a warehouse. And all the girls that work there, and we do have one guy that come. And and Yarn Tree also owns Q-Snaps. So there's always constantly someone snapping Q-Snaps and putting those together. So the great thing about working at Yarn Tree is that there's people constantly calling or sending new products for the needlework products, and there's store owners that are constantly calling. And so I'm right in the middle of all the hubbub of all the latest trends and gossips and things that's going around in the needlework industry.
That's fun.
It's fun. Yeah. Like last month, DMC is coming out with 35 new colors and it comes in a gold tin and, phone calls all day and everyone's all excited or, different things will happen. And
yep.
It's fun. So
it's fun to go into work and, be in the middle of all the stitchers.
Yeah. And some stuff you can put your hands on too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And we get to feel all the fabric.
That makes a difference.
It does. And sometimes the store owners will call and they'll say, how's it feel? Or, is it a thick fabric or a stiff fabric? So, and then, the floss comes in boxes. So that's probably not as pretty as all the fabric. But yeah. The fabric's fun when it comes in from Germany, like the Zweigert fabric. It comes in on big bolts and in big, huge pallets.
Oh, man.
So that's kind of fun to see. Yeah.
Oh. Yards and yards and yards of. Yeah. So, all right. So, what's lunch hour like at the warehouse? Is it a stitch fest, or, I mean, do most people stitch who work there?
Oh, yes. And then they're all very artsy type people. Some of my coworkers also quilt and cross stitch. And so everyone will bring in their projects to show off, and everyone there can really appreciate how much work goes into each piece of needle art. So, and, you know, if they're cross stitching, one of my coworkers is cross stitching something for a baby, of course, we all know and can ooh and ah over it and show off. So that's fun.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah. So I see everybody's got their own, their needlework stand and hoop at their work spot. Break time.
No. It's in Q-snaps, of course. It's in Q-snaps.
Oh, okay. Yes, of course. Yeah. Company issued Q-snaps. Yes. Yep. Oh, that sounds like a fun place to work. I think I'm in the car to Iowa right now. Yep. I think so. Yeah. So how long have you been in the magazine? You've been there a long time, right?
I started in 1999, so I've been there 19 years.
Yeah. So you've seen quite a bit, a lot of change, especially with threads.
I've been through a lot, but then also some things, I guess, have stayed the same, too. You know, I mean, if you stitch with Aida and DMC Floss, there's still the purists who use the same thing. And... but yes, there's lots of new products too. Constantly new products coming in.
Isn't that amazing how that one product, DMC Floss, is, I mean, how many years have they made that floss? Like forever? And it's still the mainstay.
Yep.
And excitement over a bunch of new colors. So, you know, the mainstay
publishers.
What's that?
Gary, other magazine people probably talk about Pantone colors.
Yes.
But when I have an ad, I'm like, what's the DMC color? When we're trying to pitch something up and I don't have it in person.
Makes sense.
Yep.
And then the designer will be like, it's a, you know, they'll run, go check. And it's really close to DMC 38. So I'll get out my book and they'll get out theirs. And then that's how we color match.
There we go. Yeah. 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 The rest of the publishing world uses, CMYK Pantone. And Pantone, but no,
yeah.
DMC for you. Yeah, okay, I see.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, so your job is basically, it sounds like you're also doing the publisher job, so you're also handling the sales end and circulation and editing. Yep. You got the whole shot. Boy, I have people for half of that stuff.
Yep. Well, I'm a woman, so I can multitask.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Here we go. Okay.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, okay.
Burn. Mm-hmm. But all right. That's why I like the job, is because I get to do something different. And also because it's different things every issue. There's new products, but also my job from one week to the next is different. And so that's really nice because it's just a nice change of pace.
Right.
And then this year, I mean, I don't know if you're ready to talk about Nashville yet, but this year, the last 3 years, we've taken over Nashville. And that's been a totally different experience and really fun to learn kind of the background behind the market, too. So I guess that's probably one of the things that I like the most about the job, is just because it just keeps me busy and entertained and
so
it's exciting.
I don't know the history of the Nashville market at all. So you guys bought it from someone else?
We didn't buy it. The TNNA, the National Needlework Association, stopped doing it. They dropped it. And at that time, the cross stitchers were really disappointed because that was their show that they counted on for a lot of their revenue. So after discussing it for a while, and we also sent lots of emails and took surveys to see if they still wanted it, we said, okay, we'll host the show, and it's up to the exhibitors and the store owners. If you guys come, this is your show, but we'll host it. So we do the organizing behind the scenes for the Nashville Needlework Market. Yarn Tree and Needlework Retailer Magazine are co-hosts.
So all the logistics, all the registration, getting rooms, all those things are all on you to organize.
Yes, like all the little details.
Yeah. Yeah, and I never did get to say hi to you. I was kind of focused on what I was doing. But had ice cream and water. You guys had all kinds of stuff going around there.
Yep.
On Friday afternoon, boy, if you're an exhibitor, you guys were taking care of them. It was kind of neat.
And I'm sorry Christine wasn't able to make it, but I hope you guys will come next year.
Definitely.
Yep. So for 3 years you've been putting it together and it's grown?
It's grown every year. And we have about 123 needlework exhibitors, companies that come to show their products. And this last year, I think we had 161 attendees or businesses that came to shop.
So that's a good number then. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to be there and look up from the atrium floor and see all the signs all the way around the all four sides, five floors of stores. And then it was amazing to me, absolutely amazing, how everybody had a different way of displaying their products and using that front room, and some of them spilling down the sides, you know, down into the, like almost into the kitchenette or the bathroom and almost into the bedroom. And a lot of innovative ways of displaying their products, and you could tell what can we set up quickly, how can we haul it, because a lot of those people bring a lot of stuff to that show. I was kind of surprised.
It's amazing what they can do with the 10 by 10 foot room. They just turn them into stores.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, and thank you 3M for those hooks that stick on the wall. And yeah. I'd like to have the vendor business for those. What are they called? That you can pull off and they don't leave a mark or anything. Boy, that was a
command hooks or something.
Yeah,
command
yeah,
hooks.
Yeah, about a million of those got used. It was amazing. Yep. So do you see new people have you seen an increase in new people, new designers, or are we a pretty stable group at this show?
Oh, yeah. We see new designers and new stores each time. But there's always there's both. I mean, there's people that have been there year after year. I can't think of some names, right? Like Sue Hillis or some of the other cross-stitch designers. They're like, I've been to every Nashville Needlework Market for the last 15 years or however many years. And then there's always the new stores or the new designers that are there and checking it out. And there was some this last show that were walking around and they said, we want to come next year. And we were just checking out walking the show floor to see what it's like. Because yeah, until you visit, it's really hard to describe, even though there's lots of videos and pictures, it's just hard to describe how creative the displays are in the room.
Yeah, it's a trade show. I mean, I've been to hundreds of trade shows, and it's a trade show like I've never been to. I've certainly never been to one where people actually buy and haul product out, and some people hauling around little wagons and carts to haul everything. And was it Kim Young at Sassy Jack's? The next day, she showed a picture of their SUV where she bought so much stuff that they had to put their luggage on top of the car because there was no room in the car. So yeah, and there's a lot of seem to be a lot of people with advanced orders. Has that increased in the 3 years you guys have been doing it? People showing up with advanced orders from their customers. How is that? And then how has the internet affected the show? Has it been positive, slightly negative, or really not had an impact?
Well, I think that there has been an increase in pre-orders, and that we were kind of discussing that this week in our exhibitor group that we have for our exhibitors. And the reason we think that is because a lot of our exhibitors are from overseas. So we have a strong We have a strong group of Italian designers that come. We also have designers from Belgium. And when they are shipping product overseas, it really helps if they take pre-orders and they know what to bring. And it also lowers the price for the shop owner and in result, the end consumer, if they can bring the product over and not have to ship it. Because if your cross-stitch chart is $10, but it costs $10 to ship it, it doubles the price.
Right.
So the overseas designers take pre-orders, and then the store owners can pick them up in Nashville. Well, the other designers that are in the U.S. saw this, and they are also picking up on this and taking pre-orders. So,
yeah, and it creates quite a buzz. I mean, I was kind of amazed just watching the particularly Mania. What is – oh, jeez. the Facebook group –
Stitch Mania.
Yeah, I mean the show that the regular hobbyists can't go to was very much on their minds. I mean, it created quite a buzz in terms of what's going to be new at the market and getting orders in. So you're really benefiting a lot from the end customer, where most trade shows the customers never even know that the show exists. But you're really mm-hmm. unique in that way, because there was just an awful lot of buzz about the new designs and making sure that people got them ordered, and then the shops that have events after the show to show what they purchased. I mean, it's kind of a neat dynamic that you just don't see in normal trade shows.
Yeah, I'm hoping that like Sassy Jacks and some of the other store owners will send me some pictures from their Nashville events that they've been having, because I'd like to feature some of them in the magazine. So I think that's kind of fun to show all the creative things that the store owners are doing once they get home.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first time that ran into it was, several years ago, where my local store, Welcome Stitchery in Crystal Lake, Illinois, it's in their newsletter that on the Saturday after the market, they have a special all-day event. And mm-hmm. you know, what are you talking? You know, my reaction was, what are you talking about? And so I went there and couldn't get in the door, and then discovered that, yeah, the people are there to see all the new things that came from this Nashville market show. And that for someone who's just done trade shows forever, it really was a unique dynamic for you, basically reaching from the wholesale end all the way to retail and being recognized as a main event in the calendar year for the needlework hobby, a main event as far as the end customer is concerned. And that just never happens. So that's, you know, in other industries. So it was just a unique dynamic, and you guys obviously benefit from that.
I think that a lot of that goes to what a good job that the local needlework store owners, the LNS and the ONS, are doing. They share like all these activities that they're doing with their customers, like their family and their friends. They're like, look what I bought. I can't wait to show you all these cute things that I've bought. Come see. And so they're just so open and friendly about it. They just want to share the excitement. So, you know, and also if someone else is going to get the new stuff, you want to get it too. And if it kind of creates a frenzy, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah. And you give them you give them a built-in marketing event every year, which is great.
A lot of the store owners, they will shop all day. I don't know how they do it. They shop all day. They take all their stuff to their rooms. They price it, and then they organize it in tubs ready to go back, so that as soon as they get back that next Saturday, they can have their Nashville nights. Or their Nashville days. So,
wow.
And I've heard back from some of the stores, and they're saying, we have had the best Nashville ever. We bought the most product. We've made the most money. You know, so everyone's very excited and very positive vibes at this last show for the industry.
That's really great, because that was the other thing I wanted to learn from you is, do you see the hobby growing? I mean, there just seems to be a lot of activity. And Christine and I have talked about this several times, about the role that Facebook and the Facebook groups are playing, and FlossTube, and are you seeing like an uptick in activity and excitement for needlework in general, but cross-stitch in particular?
We think so. My employer, Beth Johnson, she always said, you know, it's like the sea, and if everyone's cross-stitching, there's enough room for everybody. And the more that we're, the more people that are stitching, the better for everyone. So, you know, we're always just trying to support cross-stitch, and that's a lot of the reason why we are hosting the show, is that we would just want to support cross-stitch and needlework in general. And all these, you can't be in every single stitch group, like Stitch Mania and, you know, all these stitch groups and all the floss tubes. It's just so hard. But if you can find your group where you fit and show them your work, and they write, you know, they write back and give you comments, oh, that's so beautiful. It's so nice to have like all the positive feedback from people that understand, that are also stitchers.
Right.
So I think the internet, we think the internet is positive for cross stitching, or if it outweighs, all the positive effects outweigh the negative things, such as, you know, copyright issues.
Yeah, that. That. Yes.
But the stitchers, the good people, the people that are, you know, really loyal stitchers, I think are aware of it, and they support their store owners. And I did want to tell any, you know, stitchers that are listening, if you have a local needlework store owner that went to Nashville or, you know, is having a Nashville night, I hope you'll go out and support them, because that store owner spent a lot of time and money coming out to the show to get the very best and the hottest and the newest stuff for their customers. So they're probably a pretty special store owner to visit and to make sure that you, you know, frequent them and give them lots of business.
Yeah, and people have a perception of business travel as you know, dinners on the company and just a fun old time, and you go to some kind of a show during the day for a couple hours, and then you go play around in a city. But, I mean, you described it right there when you talked about the store owners buying stuff all day and then sitting in their rooms at night pricing and organizing. I mean, that's the way business travel, and particularly trade show travel, is really done in any industry I've ever been in. Is that it really is all day work, and you drop into bed at night and try to get some sleep in a hotel room, which is not always possible, and then you're right back up the next day, to because you're maximizing the value you get out of that money you've invested to go to that city and to attend that show. And you want to get the most out of it and then get back, and in this case, turn it in your store and serve your customers and of course, ultimately make some money off of it. But yeah, there's a real commitment there, and it isn't a commitment to having fun. I mean, it's people, it's their jobs, it's work to do it right. And if you do it right, everybody wins on the thing.
I agree. Yes, it's a lot of work. So,
yeah. Especially if you're organizing the show.
Those store owners, though, they just shop till they drop, and then they go back to their rooms, and they're marking things, and they're trying to get, they have wish lists, and they're trying to get everything that that they think that their customers will want. So I just don't know how I think it would be a really hard job, because you couldn't get what you want to buy. You have to get what your customers want. Right. So I think that would be almost impossible. It would be really hard.
Yeah, there was a lady I was talking to. She was in Hands Across the Sea in Nicola's room. And I have her name, and she said she'd do a podcast with us, from Ohio. And they really specialized in reproduction samplers. And she and her partner were standing there pointing at the samplers in Nicola's space, and actually naming the customers who would like this one, and so and so would like this one. And I thought, wow, that is really
that's a good job.
Yeah, that's I was impressed with that they knew. And you could tell that they weren't guessing. They knew exactly what type of sampler each of their customers would like. And that's when I said, here's my card. We got to do a show with you.
You'll have to ask her, you know, how do you keep track, and, you know, how do you order things for your store? I think that would be really interesting.
Yeah. Well, they knew their customers. Yep, there was no question about it. That whole we were talking a couple weeks ago, that whole reproduction sampler thing now, I mean, Christine and I only been doing this here for a little over a year. Has that whole world really grown? It just seems to me it's such an active, dedicated group of stitchers. Do you encounter it much in what you do? I mean, it just seems like this reproduction sampler world and then all the offshoots of it have really established itself in the cross stitch world.
We have found at Needlework Retailer and at Yarn Tree that people are stitching more on linen and the higher counts of linen and samplers and reproduction samplers. And at this last show, someone would find an antique sampler and they would deconstruct it and make, you know, a biscornu or a little sewing case. And it just blows my mind, all those different, they're so creative, and they'll tell you the history of the sampler and where it's from, and they'll do the research. It's just mind blowing, all the different reproduction samplers that they had and all the different projects they have.
Yeah,
I definitely think that the samplers are very popular. The historical aspect of them and stitching on linen is very popular. The higher counts too.
And that drive, that interest in linen, I mean, it really is. And there's so many different kinds and colors and dye lots and of linen. Have you seen that in the Yarn Tree business, a greatly increased demand for linen?
Yes. And they just want higher and higher counts. Do you have this in 35 and 40 count? And we're just like, how can you stitch on that? But they've got their, magnifiers, and a lot of people will stitch, miniatures, or they'll stitch on high count fabrics.
Yep. I just like the idea of using one thread instead of two, so you don't have to use a laying tool.
Yes.
That's what makes me happy.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. No, there's a lot to be said for that. I think we're gonna look back in 10 years, and be amazed at the impact LED lighting has had on our lives. Because if you think about it, you know, when you say, all right, I'm stitching on 40 count. I mean, for me, I like stitching on 40 count, but the only way I can do it is with a magnifier with that ring of LEDs around it, and I can get my face right up next to it, and I don't have a bunch of heat coming off. And I mean, to me, that's the absolute game changer, because people who say they can sit in regular light or decent light and stitch on 40 count without a magnifier, boy, my hat's off to them. I have no idea how they do that. But but even to have good, strong lighting with LEDs without any heat, you don't have to worry about, I mean, electricity is trivial with those things. I think that's a real game changer. And then when it comes to traveling with stitching, to be able to take all, you know, there's a million of those little lights that people take along, mm-hmm. and stitch with, and that allows people to continue to do that high count stuff, yes.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but yes, that's very true.
Yeah. No, I think we're going to find that in a lot of areas, that LEDs have changed the game for us. It'll be interesting in 10 years to look back. So, yeah. Do you see, I mean, I started in this back in the 80s, actually it was late 70s, with needlepoint, but ran into cross stitch in the 80s when there was a store next to every gas station. And do you see the designs overall, particularly in the last 15 years or so, have gotten, and I'm going to get myself in trouble here, gotten more sophisticated? We've gotten away from, and by that I mean we've gotten away from just a parade of cute little teddy bears and things, and a lot of these small ornament things with buildings and like Lizzie Kate type stuff really have a, mm-hmm. I want to say and I don't know if this is the right word, an element of sophistication to them that is beyond that kind of cartoony stuff. Do you see that?
Yes. I mean, there's just something for everybody. It's no longer just like country bears is what I thought of it, you know, when I first started. But, it's definitely, but there is something for everyone. And if you don't like, you know, the historical samplers or like the primitive, but there's still lots of fun designs. And a lot of the new designers, they are very creative about mixing the two. So they'll have like a snarky saying or something funny, and they'll kind of mix it with a with an old school sampler. And there's plenty of Halloween and witch and realistic and landscapes. I mean, there's something for everybody. And not only is there something for everybody, in those 123 rooms at Nashville, I bet you could find something that you liked in every single room. I can't even explain you how much... how mind blown you are when you walk in and then you're just looking around. And as the designer's talking, you're like, that's my favorite. No, that one's my favorite. And then if they tell you about something else, you see something different, but you know, there's just something, or they'll point out, oh, this one's got a cute cat in it that's curled up, or here's a dog that's jumping on a mailman or something, you know, just something that you didn't see before. So.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Every room I was in, yeah, I could have easily gone home with a carload, no problem. of all kinds, of needlework and different styles and designs. Yeah, exactly. Something that was likable everywhere. Yes. Yep.
One thing we did find this year that was kind of surprising that we weren't expecting, but like farm animals were very popular. Farm scenes, animal scenes. Different farm animals, different animals, mermaids, sea life. There's lots of mermaids, sea life, relaxing designs. Of course, wine is always a hot topic for people to stitch things about. And then also peacocks. There's lots of new peacock designs. I'm trying to think what else was kind of a hot trend.
I wonder where the farm animal comes from. Where's the farm animal come from? That's weird.
I don't know, but it just seemed to be something maybe that's relaxing for people to stitch, or they have good memories of. I'm not sure. I think
that
people when
they're country,
they weren't country. They were almost like not cartoonish, and not maybe more kind of had a sampler look to them. Hmm. A lot of the animals.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because now, as I think back at all the rooms I was in, there were a lot of. Seemed like there were a lot of animals. That's I didn't pick up on that. I'll be darned. Yeah. I mean, it's just interesting that the trends and what the interests are. And that's one of the things. Halloween is one of those where, you know, not a holiday. And I don't even, you know, holiday, not even an annual day that I give a rip about. But boy, that's just huge for a lot of stitchers. A lot of people just love stitching Halloween stuff. And I'm just amazed at that. But then when I look at what they stitch, particularly the colors, I think the colors really, really are a draw there. Those bright oranges and yellows and really strong colors. But, you know, that's a phenomenon. I often wonder if that carries if it's just popular in pockets of the country, or if it's all the way across the country. Because, you know, you expect Easter and spring and Christmas to have, you know, they're always going to be a staple. But that Halloween thing, because I know here in the Midwest, it isn't the stitching. I mean, people decorate for Halloween around here almost as much as they do for Christmas. And, I mean, it's just kind of grown in the last few years into this phenomenon. And stitching has followed right along with it. It's just been interesting.
When I first started 20 years ago, our most popular issue that we had was our September, October, because everyone was coming out with their Christmas designs. And the saying in the industry is Christmas is always popular. So a lot of the times a new stitcher, the first time that they stitch will be a Christmas ornament or a Christmas design. Or if you have a new Christmas design coming out in January, that's okay, because by the time you get it finished, it'll be Christmas. Yeah. You can get it done. You can get it done by Christmas. But over the years, that has stopped being my most popular issue. And now my most popular issue, that's full of new products is probably the March, April that comes out before Nashville, or the July-August, which comes out before Destination Dallas, which is the Needlepoint wholesale trade show for the Needlepoint.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just because on a designing cycle, that they are releasing their new products right before market.
Do you have it in the, for those who don't know, in the trade magazine world, we do edit what we call an editorial calendar, so you can say to the advertisers, this is what we're covering in each of the issues. And I don't know if you do an editorial calendar or not, or at least you must have some plan. Do you have issues through the year that you target the various holidays or summer or those kinds of things? Do you break it down like that, or do you just let products be what they are except for the trade show issues?
Pretty much they are what they are, but since we're so far ahead of the holidays, so because of the printing schedule, the July, August, and the September, October would have Christmas, because by the time the magazine comes out in September and the store owner orders their product and has it delivered, there's another, 2 to 3 weeks. So then you're getting into October, and then the store owner puts it out on their shelves. You're getting to the end of October, beginning of November, and so you need to get the product out in time for Christmas stitching. So we're always, 6 months ahead, 4 to 6 months ahead. So, but right now we're working on the May-June issue, and so we're seeing lots of spring designs and summer designs, beach scenes, and seascapes.
Yep. You get to obviously talk to a lot of store owners. I assume you get to travel to stores. What are you seeing? What are the successful stores doing? Is it having classes and having designers in? What are they doing that's making them successful, particularly in this age of the internet and we can order anything anytime? What are you seeing?
Well, I get to talk to a lot of store owners, but I don't get to travel, unfortunately, to a lot of stores. But we do have a store display article in the magazine every month. We feature a different store. So I do get to talk to a lot of stores. Classes are really hot right now. A lot of the store owners are focusing on different teachers. And I was talking to some at the Nashville market, and I was really surprised that they don't ask the same teacher back. They're really striving to have a different teacher come every quarter or every year so that all their consumers, all their people that come to shop, all their shoppers get to see lots of different teachers. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I think you can be successful to go to market. if you go to the Nashville Needlework Market and see all the new trends and meet with all the people in the industry, all the teachers that are there.
But so the successful stores are following the formula for any successful business, which is to have some diversity in what your offerings are and obviously know your customer base and deliver that rather than just being a store that has a bunch of products. It's the old marketing thing. Give them a reason to come to the store and you'll sell more product. I mean, that just isn't changing.
Yes. And we are seeing like a lot of them, just treat their customers like friends and family. They've got their web page, but they also have their social media pages. They're keeping their clients up to date. Newsletters, they've got their classes. And a lot of them are doing like travel groups where they'll take their group of people overseas on a stitching cruise, or let's go and do a tour here. So we're seeing a lot of almost like family, they'll just treat their clients so special and individual for their niche that they just become friends.
Yeah.
It's your social group to go and stitch, and the store owner by name. And
yeah, well, that's last time I was in Phoenix at the Attic, and I was there in the evening of the day that Gene has tables out for people to stitch. Just come in anytime during the day, and a lot of stores do this. But there were women that had been there all day long. This was their each week. This was their day to get out of the house and just sit and stitch and talk to fellow stitchers. And you could tell it was a highlight of their week. And you know, and from Jean's perspective, it brings people in the store, and that's the key. So, yep.
That's our motto, remember, Gary, because Christine, you said she's wanted to travel and hang out with Stitchers, and I said that needs to be on a T-shirt.
Yes.
I just want to travel and hang out with Stitchers. That sounds like a good day.
Yeah.
So what about your stitching? You do much of it? Of course, you're raising kids. You probably don't have a lot of time. You get to stitch?
I do get to stitch. Yep. I'm kind of one of those serial starters because I see a lot of new things at work that I have to have, and then I'll start on them, and then I'll get about halfway done. And I'm not a good finisher.
I can't even imagine working in a warehouse like that. I mean, that's just like
too many nice things.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a lot of nice things. It's like that anywhere you work, isn't it, though? Like, if you work retail, don't you kind of start shopping and buy? I don't know. I bought my friend when we were in Nashville. I bought her a cross-stitch chart, and then I got the fabric, scissors, and needle to give her as a souvenir when I got back. So I'm trying to gift cross-stitch to some of my friends and family members, get them started stitching.
Yeah, but you're working in a warehouse full of stuff. They're bringing in cloths on pallets. Oh, man.
I know. It is really neat to see.
Yes, she'll admit it. And she admits it.
I don't have to cut all of the fabric, though. Some of the one of the ladies, we teased her that we were going to lock her in there until she got done cutting it all. Because it's just so much work, you know, so much work to cut it and package it all up. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you have to break that down into palatable sizes for, oh, man.
Yeah. So they have to cut all the fabric, and they have to line it all up and check the, you know, make sure that it's all lined up and the holes are all lined up for the linen and cut.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that. Yes. Oh. So massive cutting tables, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that a job where you a job you do and then you try to get out of, eventually move on to something else?
I think that's a job that you have to kind of rotate on.
Oh, okay.
It's like a lifeguard. You can't do it for too long. You have to take a break and do something else for a while and then come back.
I'm cutting this month. Oh, no. Oh,
just when I get done to the bottom, then another box appears.
Yeah.
It's just like The Godfather. Just when you thought you're done, we pulled you back in. We always joke.
Oh, what fun. I'm going to come visit. I'm going to come visit. Yep. So what's the most exciting new designer you're seeing? Or new design trend, maybe. Maybe you don't want to name names, but new design trend. I don't know.
Well, and let me think. Well, one thing I was going to say is for, like, online, I think a neat thing is that you can see everyone's finishes. So someone like me that's not good at finishing, it's really inspiring to see all the floss tubes and the videos of the how-to.
Yeah.
And so that's what I think's neat, is that even if everyone is doing a stitch along and they all have the same chart, but there's so many different ways that you can finish it or make it your own with different fabrics or different threads, that I think it's really inspiring how they finish things.
Yeah, there's a lot of creativity anymore. It's not just put it on a wall in a frame. Yeah.
Yeah. No more frame. I mean, they're doing at the trade show, they had jewelry that you could put your cross stitch in. They had purses. They had, you know, little smalls that you could stitch on. They just had, I can't even remember everything. There was so much, but
yeah, there's a million ways. And we've talked about how much fun it is with reproduction samplers to just pull off a motif that you really like and make it into a small little thing, a little something to hang on your neck or any number of things. And yeah, a lot of opportunities. Yep. So what are you stitching right now that you're never going to finish?
I am stitching a lily violet design that is of Mary Poppins, kind of on, hanging onto her umbrella, and she's floating over the black London. And I'm stitching it for my niece that actually lives in Arizona, and she... Oh, I hope she doesn't listen to this because it's kind of a surprise. But she was born. Her parents went to the musical Mary Poppins the night she was born.
After the
production was over, she was born and went to the hospital. So that was kind of fun. So I'm stitching that for her. But I think that's the last thing I'm working on. And then I also have a needlepoint that I'm working on that my neighbor, my parents' neighbor, Catherine, was kind of helping me needlepoint on. So I'm trying. It's a sailboat on water, and it's from Julia's Needleworks.
Painted canvas?
It's this, yep.
And so that, so okay, so that'll never get finished. Mary Poppins will never get finished. No, you started. Yeah, that's the with a gift like that. Yeah, you got to finish that one, the Mary Poppins one. Yeah, that's got to get done.
Yeah. Yeah. I better get it out tonight. You're making me feel guilty.
Pressure's on.
One. I'm also stitching another one. I can't remember. I should have got it out. From. It's the whole, the distributor is Dinky Dyes. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the name of the designer, but it's Stitch, Drink Wine, Stitch, and Be Happy.
Uh-huh.
And it has a lot of flower, it's a floral around it. But it has a lot of confetti stitching, which is harder for me to get used to. So I need a plan for that one before I go back to that one. So I got the words all done in the middle. Now I'm doing the flowers around the outside. It's kind of like a wreath around with roses.
Yeah, there was somebody the other day, got confetti stuff. Somebody the other day showed, it was a heaven and earth design or equivalent. And they showed the wads of, and they were nicely organized wads of thread that, you know, they were parking it. And clipped with hair clips to keep it organized. I have no idea how those people that do that, where they're stitching, you know, one X here in this color, and then two rows down and three over, they're going to use that color again. I have no idea how they do that, but it was an impressive just display of, here's where I'm at in this thing. And I think there were four groupings of thread across the bottom that were clipped, each clipped together. And then of course threads all the way up, and the person was using incredibly long thread, but it looked like, you know, they were pulling it through the canvas about once every 30 holes. So it wasn't like the thread was going to get worn out, but that just amazes me how people do that and keep it all straight. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I don't care about the back. I'll go all the way across, but I just, don't like to count. I'm afraid I'm going to get off on my counting. So.
Go all the way across. Hey, you can get away with it.
Yep. All
right, Megan, we got to quit. Doggone it. Wow. Flies by.
Yeah, it does.
Yes, these always do. Thanks so much. Thanks for insight into Needlework Retailer and what you're seeing from the editor position. And if you ever want to trade editor spots, let me know. You can do architects. I'll do stitching, and we can try that for a month and see how it goes. And I'll just sit in the. I'll never get any work done because I'll just be in the warehouse getting stuff. So.
I think I'll keep my job. I like it.
Okay. All right. Darn it. All right. Thank you, Megan. Thanks to everybody for listening. And Christine and I will be back on Wednesday.
Take care.